Lord, be with us now. Come to us by your Spirit. Open our hearts, our minds, our imaginations. Open us to your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I had an epiphany in 2019. I'm wondering if you can work out what my epiphany was. So sort of towards the beginning of the year, as some of you know, I've had a shoulder injury, and I've kind of been over the year kind of recovering from that, but then there's still this kind of pain that goes on, that sort of goes across the back of the neck, and that's a little bit now arthritic and across the shoulders. And then if I spend too much time over the computer and sort of typing and then have that position, then there's sort of stuff going. But that's kind of sort of basically sort of got better. But then kind of later in the year, I tried to get back on my bicycle, and I realised my kind of legs, they weren't up to it anymore. They kind of like, you know, once I could do kind of like 50 miles in X kind of minutes and hours, and now they're just not kind of up to it anymore that they once were. And then I need to turn my microphone on. And in the latter part of the year, I had this funny thing going on with my ankle, where it's kind of just here. I was going to get Paul Jakeman, who is a retired GP from the church, so I had to take a look at it. It's kind of, I can't work out whether it's the ankle or it's the heel, but there's some kind of, it almost feels like it's a bit dislocated, disconnected or something, that's just causing quite a bit of pain. I've now started to wear some insoles that arch my, because I've got duck's feet, and these try and arch my feet. So that's been going on. And then, again, as a repeat of recent years, Christmas Day kept going by adrenaline, and then kind of like at the fall of the 11 o'clock service, I was then knocked out with a cough and cold and kind of bugs and illnesses and, you know, what everybody else has been having, headaches and coughs and colds. So if anybody kind of like worked out I'm getting old. I am getting old. Jeremy, if I try and be gentler to myself, yes. I've hit 50. Just in case that wasn't out there in public knowledge, I have hit 50. What I try and say to myself, Jeremy, if I want to be a little bit gentler to myself, is I'm not as young as I used to be, is the way I kind of try and spin it a little bit.
You've said that for so many years.
It's true. Actually, what I realised when I started the talk at the 9 o'clock, and then we had the piece and we shared the piece, and somebody rightfully pointed out to me, and they said, you should try being 89. and fair point, and well made, and well understood. And not only am I getting old, the reality is that I'm also becoming a bit of a moaner about some of this stuff. And there are members of my family that will attest to that. And these are, you know, epiphanies that have happened to me over the last year. Okay. If you all feel the same this year, let's all just gather up at the front and we can have a little time of prayer, or a big hug and a time of prayer. I think actually it's the truth for all of us. Yep. We're all on that journey, which is just less young than we used to be. Epiphanies. I think when it comes to epiphanies, there is one thing about epiphanies that we do understand and we do know. And I think there's a subtler thing about epiphanies that I'd like to sort of draw out and for us to sort of think about a little bit. One thing we know about epiphany is that it takes us from a place of not knowing so much to knowing a bit more. A place from kind of ignorance to insight. That's one thing that we can kind of say. That's how we understand an epiphany. A moment or a period by which, after the end of that time, we have this sort of greater knowledge. We have this greater understanding about the reality of things. Normally it's about who we are, who the people are around us, about the world. We have an epiphany about what the world is like, the reality of things. And we also have an epiphany, a greater insight about who God is, But one of the subtler things that happens, I think, with Epiphany, that makes an Epiphany, is it also is not just about this kind of going from ignorance to insight, but it's also about going from disconnect to connection. From having less connection, less relationship, to having a better relationship, to having more connection. So I want to sort of talk about that a little bit. One of the other things that I think is normal, is typical of an epiphany, is they don't just happen if we sit on the sofa, unless that epiphany is you need to get off the sofa. You know, that may be that. Normally, we actually have to go on a journey. An epiphany comes with a quest. There's normally a journey. There's normally some searching that goes on when epiphany happens. So if you think about our story today, the epiphany story that we've had today, the Magi had to go physically go on a journey. They had to get off their backside, stop looking at their charts, and make a physical journey. And if they didn't do that, they wouldn't have had the insight that they had as to who this child was, the King of Kings. But also they wouldn't have had the connection. They wouldn't have been able to make that connection with this child, as this child is God. And when I was sort of doing some research about this and looking at the epiphanies that happen in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, those, again and again, often the person that has the epiphany, that has that insight, normally about who they are in relation to God, has gone on some kind of journey. But it's not just about the relationship we have with God, it can be the relationship we have with one another. So if you think about Joseph of the Old Testament and his brothers, so when Joseph was second in command in Egypt, his brothers had to go on a journey. They went on a journey of necessity because their land was ravaged by famine and they needed to go and find some food, and the only place to go and find food was Egypt. And when they got there, that journey ended in the epiphany that not only was their brother not dead, but he was now second in command in Egypt. But they got that information. But what they also got was reconnection. They connected again with a brother. So those two things come together to tell us something about what epiphany is. And I think it's also true. We have this phrase, don't we? They say, you probably can finish it off. Travel is the best. You can't. Pardon? Best way to broaden your mind, the best education. Travel is the best education. Travel is the best way to broaden your mind. I may interject later on, okay? Just be ready. With a question to you. So, travel is the best way to, it's the best education, or the best way to broaden your mind. And I think this is true because of both those things. One, it gives you fresh insights. You travel and you see different cultures and different worlds, and you get a fresh insight into your own life. It helps you reflect upon your own life. But also, travel is the best education, broadens your mind, because you normally end up making either new relationships or you deepen relationships that you already have. So Anna's often spoken about one of her best friends at church called Joe. I think that Anna's relationship with Joe is deepened by the fact that actually they spent summers of their youth travelling together along the south coast and in Ireland. And I think that has actually deepened their connection with one another. So they broadened their minds from the insights and experience and the knowledge that they got, but they also broadened the depth. They deepened the depth of their relationship. And not all, having said the thing about the couch potato thing, not all quests, not all journeys are physical ones. In fact, most of them, some of the most important journeys that we can go on, if you think about the journeys and the searches and the quests that happen in medicine, in science, in engineering, in discovery, actually our intellectual journeys. If you think about the journeys of enlightenment and philosophy and art, they are spiritual, emotional, psychological. They're internal journeys. So many of those scientific insights have resulted from a long quest. And if you think about in the Old Testament, the book of Job. So Job went on a spiritual journey. He actually spent most of his time sat on his backside, surrounded by his mate, but he did go on a spiritual journey to discover more about the nature of all the suffering that he was undergoing. But that culminated, that climax at the end of that book, with Job having a greater insight into the power and authority of who God was, but also a greater connection with that God. So we had the two things, the insight and the connection that came with it. Now I think in our lives, there's this quest that can lead to epiphanies, to insights about truth and greater connection. But we're actually also all going on a load of other different quests in our lives. We can think about our lives about the quests that we're on. It might be a helpful way to think about our lives. So some of those quests that we could be going on are quests for power, quests for control, quests for status, quests for wealth, quests for happiness, quests for health. That's obviously passed me by. Quests for the perfect body, again. Quests for comfort. Quests for the need for constant entertainment. And to some degree, there are nothing wrong with these quests. I actually love that I have some control in my life. We live in houses so that we can have control of our environment, so that they can be secure places where we can control the temperature, where we can be safe, and that provides us with some control within which we can flourish. This is the second year. I need a bit of an alleluia after this, people, okay? This is the second year that the Brindle family have got through Christmas without getting in debt. And that is because, thanks to the CAP money course, we are actually recognised that Christmas does happen every year, and that we've actually managed to save and plan for it, so that we're not in debt by the end of it. We've actually got a bit more control over our finances, and I'm really happy about that. We can want to have, and a lot of people do want to have, control over their health at the start of a new year. And far better to have control, you know, to think about our diets and what we're drinking and eating and stuff like that, than to just kind of like get no exercise and slob out. It's far better to have that as a quest for good health than otherwise. So there's, in principle, nothing wrong with these quests, apart from, or up until, they, says, they start to do the opposite of what epiphany does. So remember, an epiphany leads to a greater insight, more, less ignorance and more insight and connection. The opposite of that would be more ignorance, lies, untruths, and disconnection. And the thing is with some of our other quests, if you think of our lives as quests, is they're fine, and that's right, you know, I've said about how useful it is to be in control of our finances, but actually taken to the extreme, those quests can lead to actually more ignorance, more lies, and more disconnection. So if we look at our story from the Bible today, and we look at Herod, one of the other characters of the story today, Herod's quest was about power and control and status. And those things had actually led him to be ignorant about the truth. He thought he was the king.
The truth was that the baby in the manger was the king. And that had led to his quest for those things, had led to his ignorance about the truth. And for him, they also led to a massive disconnect with his own humanity and the humanity of those around him. So we read further on in Matthew in the next chapter, or later on in chapter 2, where Herod, in his quest for power and control, decides the only way to keep hold of his kingship is to instigate the massacre of every boy under the age of 2. And that's a very dramatic example of disconnection through his quest for power, control and status. Jesus tells the story, one of my favourite stories, I just think it's so insightful and interesting. Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You remember the rich man, just his thing is about wealth and comfort. So he has a big walled house, and outside the house is Lazarus living in all his poverty, and the rich man is just consuming and building up wealth and being very, very comfortable. And clearly his quest is all about those things. And as a result, he loses touch with the reality of the poverty of Lazarus outside. We hear the same again with the story that Jesus tells of the Good Samaritan, where you have the priest and the holy man who walk by the guy that's been beaten up by the robbers. They are concerned about their quest for status, their status in relation to the letter of the law. And in pursuing that, they've forgotten about the God that underlies that law. And you can say the same for the Pharisees as well. Their quest for control, for certainty. If we apply the law of the Old Testament, if we apply the laws, we will have the certainty of God's love. And they've forgotten God's who God is, and that God of love. It's about the control of owning that. And they've forgotten, and they've disconnected themselves from the reality of the lives of the people upon which they're imposing their laws on. And then if we think about ourselves a little bit and where we are in this culture, what are the things, what are the quests that could take us away from that search for the reality of things, that search for connection? I wonder if for us in this culture, if that is around the area of comfort, our comfort actually putting us in a position where we don't see the discomfort of those around us, whether they're near or far, or that consumption of entertainment, that continuous consuming of stuffs that doesn't see the impact that consumption has on the world and others. Was it Karl Marx that said that religion is the opium of the masses? Was that Karl Marx? Okay. I kind of think you can flip that now. I think entertainment is the opium of the masses. For us. It's the thing that keeps us sedated. It's a nice, easy one, really, because everybody else is doing it. So it's fine. So on the one hand, we have the Magi. The Magi searching for truth, for the reality of things, wanting to know who this king was and wanting to make a connection. And on the other hand, we have Herod. And Herod is about that quest for power, for control, for certainty, for status, for legacy. And I think in reality, we kind of stand somewhere in the middle, each one of us. We may be more this side, or we may be more that side. But actually, I think the reality is that we could be drawn kind of either way towards this connection or towards that disconnection. And I think part of that is because of the two things that result or that can result. The search for power, status, and what have you, provides us with the illusion of security, the illusion of strength, the illusion of certainty. So if we just have, it's how marketing works a little bit, if we just have this stuff, we're going to be sorted, we're going to be happy. This stuff, if we consume, build up, gather this stuff together, this stuff will provide us with what we need. It's an illusion. It's the illusion that the rich man in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus believed, that I just need to build my walls higher, consume the stuff I have the purple robes in his time, whatever it is now in this time, that will provide me with the security, and that is the ultimate quest. And that can be quite alluring. And then there's the search, like the Magi went on, which actually is a vulnerable thing and an uncertain thing. And we have to trust in God in that. So for the Magi, they had to go to foreign lands. They had to make themselves vulnerable. They had to go on that journey. And I think we stand between the two. So a question to end on. What could in 2020 encourage us as individuals and us as a church to search for truth and connection rather than comfort, entertainment, power, control and status? Because actually this has been the story of the church throughout its history. Always struggling to walk that line, and often getting it wrong, where we think it's about power, status, and riches. But actually, we follow a God, and we follow, and to follow is a journey. We follow a God that we see in Jesus Christ. And we see in all that he has done a vulnerability and an openness. I think there are a number of things that we can do. There are a number of things that I can do that are specific to me. And I want you to think about things that might be specific to you, that might help you to walk that line between those two things. But I want to end, and I do genuinely going to end with this, because I said just now I was going to end, and I'm clearly not now. But I want to end with the words of Justin Welby that he said in his New Year's message. Those of you who caught this on Radio 4, forgive me, he says his own words much better than I'm about to, but we'll see how we get on. But I think there's a lot in what he says here that relates to what I've been talking about. So these are his words. When we hear someone described as a good Samaritan, we think about that person taking the time to help another. But it's also a story told by Jesus about someone taking the risk of reaching out to another who was very different to them. Yes, the person needed help, but they also needed connection. Christian faith does not promise us a comfortable life. Christ promises us hope, meaning, peace, purpose and joy, but not comfort. It's about following the footsteps of Jesus, who took the risk of connecting with people who were separated from him. Every time we reach out and connect with someone, it's an act of heroism. Don't underestimate it. It could be somebody you know. It could be somebody you've always wanted to connect with, but never have. It could be someone you really disagree with. Let's go for a heroic New Year's resolution. Let's resolve to reconnect, to reach out to just one person we don't know or from whom we have drifted apart from. And I think that latter one is actually harder than the former one.
to reconnect with somebody that we've drifted apart from. Because there's normally been a reason why we've drifted apart from them. And normally, those are the relationships in our families, in our close friendship groups, that are hard and challenging. Pick one person. Pick up the phone. Send them a text. Meet up for a cup of tea. Make that connection. For this new year and this new decade, I pray that you find the hope offered in Jesus Christ. Amen.